Celebrating 30 years on Utah's airwaves, Western Life Radio thanks you for joining us around the campfire and for your ongoing support to Utah's longest-running home, garden, travel, and outdoor adventure program. You can always join us on our online campsite at westernliferadio.com.
Never drink and ride. Alcohol and snowmobiles do not mix. Alcohol slows down your physical and mental reactions, affecting balance, coordination, and most importantly, judgment. It also greatly reduces your risk of hypothermia. Know how prescription drugs affect you before riding. This information is brought to you by Utah State Parks OHV Education.
Discover the magic within Utah State Parks with an annual State Parks Pass. From boating and fishing to hiking, camping, and off-highway vehicle adventures, Utah State Parks offers a wide variety of activities in the great outdoors. An annual State Park Pass opens the gate to year-round adventures at an amazing price. The annual State Park Pass provides day-use access for you and your family. In addition, Utah State Parks opens the gate to cultural and historical parks where you can learn more about Utah's rich heritage. And don't forget to reserve your favorite campsites year-round with options in teepees, yurts, and hammocks in addition to the standard tent and RV options. Visit the trailhead for more information at stateparks.utah.gov. Connect with the world through Rise Broadband and stay in touch with all things important to you and your family. Known as the number one fixed wireless internet provider in the United States, Rise Broadband will keep you connected with work, school, shopping, and entertainment. Whether you live in a suburban or rural area, Rise helps keep you and your family connected with the people and things that you value most. Rise Broadband offers flexible packages designed to meet your budget so you can enjoy all your favorite music and movies with fast, reliable, in-home Wi-Fi. Stream your favorite shows, play the hottest games without buffering, and stay in touch with family and friends. Get more for less with Rise Broadband. To check availability in your area, visit risebroadband.com or call 844-411-RISE.
Put on your helmet, let's go.
But Mom, when will I be old enough so I don't have to wear my helmet? When will I become invincible just like you?
Sweetie, I'm not invincible. I need my helmet too. Anyone can get hurt, no matter how old they are.
Be responsible and set an example when you ride. Accidents do happen. Please remember, nobody is invincible.
Spring is fast approaching, and Sportsman's Warehouse shares your passion for hiking, fishing, camping, and hunting. If you want to feel at one with nature, this is the place to gear up. Sportsman's Warehouse has the latest in fishing to help you catch the big ones as the ice melts, or get above the inversion with new hiking boots. Their experts combined with a terrific selection truly makes Sportsman's Warehouse the great indoors for those that love the great outdoors. Utah born and Utah proud, Sportsman's Warehouse, take it outside.
Kindness. It's a single smile, a thoughtful word, a small, unexpected gesture. Whatever the act may be, it's something we call kindness. Yet sometimes in such a chaotic world, people forget the power that kindness holds. Kindness can brighten a moment, lift someone's spirits, turn a bad day into a good story. Kindness can make someone's week, or month, or year. Kindness can restore faith in humanity, and some say it can even make us healthier. All with a simple, small, perhaps unseen or anonymous act. So, think about this. What would happen if a small act of kindness sparked another small act of kindness, and then another, and another, and another? What if kindness became contagious. And all the small gestures done by many would make an impact felt around the nation, around the world. Imagine that power. And all it takes is one kind act a day.
Joins us on the launch ramp once again with Utah's boating program. Thank you so much for taking a few minutes with us.
Hey, thanks, Brian, and thanks for all of you out there for listening to me again about some more safety items that we can talk about, especially as we're entering into springtime here in Utah.
We are so excited to have you on the program. I've been chomping at the bit. I've been watching a lot of different resources on the website from the state of Utah, tracking the water conditions as it progresses, as we see these atmospheric rivers come through and change our water content. It's a very interesting year.
Oh, yeah, it's great. I don't want to be that pessimistic bug that I tend to be, but I want to make sure that people know we're not out of it yet. It'd be nice to get us back to where we're sitting in a good situation. So let's keep doing it. Those that are saying the prayers to keep the water, let's keep it coming, and let's have a mild spring. And even maybe a little lower temperature summer would just be blessings like no other for us. And hopefully we'll get an early monsoonal flow, or maybe an early, a mid, and a late summer monsoonal flow. That would be beautiful, too. I know the farmers that we discussed would make sure that that is perfectly timed for whenever they're alfalfa down or when they got to do their harvest to take care of them. And I wish for the best, but we just need to keep getting water, and we need to have these mild temperatures going so we can keep this snow up high and slowly trickling down, filling our reservoirs and also filling our aquifers.
I sure am glad you said that. That is exactly the way I feel. And I don't hear that enough in our news. In fact, I don't hear it at all. I've heard many meteorologists and people on the news say, hey, we're hoping we're going to get a lot of moisture and then the temperatures jump up and then we'll fill those reservoirs. It needs to be a balanced melt. Yeah. Otherwise, it doesn't get into the ground. And a lot of people are opposed to that. They say, well, we want the water in our reservoirs. It disappears into the ground. It doesn't go anywhere. It does. It actually does. Yeah. Those aquifers, if they've been tapped, there are wells throughout the state of Utah. Anyone listening to our voices in rural Utah probably doesn't get a pipe from any of our reservoirs, except for maybe surface water for irrigation. And their homes and everything else depend desperately. And in many cases, the irrigation, their sprinklers also depend on pumping out of the ground. If those aquifers get tapped too much and don't get replenished by a balanced melt, and some of that water doesn't get in the ground, then those aquifers disappear, and then they don't have access to that pipeline anymore.
Yes, and by no means I'm going to say that I'm a hydrologist and I'm a meteorologist or any type of an ologist. I'm going off the experience, and these are things that I've sat and listened to those that have gone before me talk about. So I'm kind of going off of that type of an experience and not off of an ologist experience and learning. So be patient. You may disagree with everything that I say, but I know, Brian, we agree in this realm. So cool, mild, and keep it coming.
That's what we need. Every storm that comes through in the summer, if they don't have to water, that water stays in those reservoirs.
Amen. We're there with that. And as we're looking at that, just wondering where things are at or your special area is sitting at, your reservoir is looking at, there is a great website up, the Division of Water Resources. Now, that's the other DWR. There's three of them in the state. We have the Division of Wildlife Resources, the Division of Water Resources, and the Division of Water Rights. So we have three DWRs in the state. So make sure you're picking the right one and looking there. So this website's awesome. It's water www.utah.gov, and then you've got a /reservoir levels/. This is a great dashboard. You can get in there and look at larger reservoir systems that are through the state, but it's really kind of cool because when we looked at this earlier this last year, there were a lot of reds. There were a lot of tan colors, and red means that it's like 0 to 20, and there's orange of 21 to 40%, and the tans were 41 to 60, and there were a lot of tans. There were less oranges and a few reds that are in there, but we're starting to get some blues popping in, which means that we're above 50%, moving towards 100. So that's amazing. So that's the cool thing we can look at. And there's more amazing color changes to come here. It's kind of like we're moving from the fall colors to more water-looking type of colors. It's kind of cool.
It's making me happy. I love to see those numbers start going up. And what I really like about this particular chart is it compares to last year's water levels. There's a little chart on the side. And you can also track it to where the median is. And that is just so much empowerment to me to see, okay, this is where we are. And then it's anybody's guess. How much will our reservoirs fill up? I mean, we're seeing lots of snowpack throughout the state. How much water will melt and fill these reservoirs based on the snow water equivalent that we have and the temperatures that we can guess coming up?
Correct. It's all there. That's for the professionals to figure out all of this stuff. And my hat's off to them and how they decide when they're going to potentially have to let water out of a reservoir to make room for the water that is potentially standing above. Wow. Hats off to y'all out there that do that. Great job for what you've been doing. Mother Nature, thank you. We're doing good. We need 10 more years. So
now is actually the time to prepare. We're hearing it over and over again. If it does get warm, I mean, we're right now, our snow water equivalent is up there a bit. If things warm up quickly, there may be some potential flooding. And if you have a waterway in your backyard, these are areas you definitely want to help clear the debris out. It'll definitely fill up again from something upstream.
All are connected anywhere. You probably have heard that community groups are getting together along with the municipalities and counties and working through these waterways, and they're doing community cleanups and community service projects. It's happening everywhere. If you're bored, this is a great way that you can get out. You can exercise, and besides shoveling snow, you can help out and do your part, do your civic duty in helping out in your communities and doing these cleanups and also preparations for what could happen. So I've seen these cleanups in my community that has just been amazing that they've cleaned up some of these creek beds that it just not only aesthetically looks nice, and they cleaned a lot of garbage debris up, but it allows the water to flow more freely to where it needs to go.
If it's clear ahead of it, it won't be undercutting the banks trying to get around it.
Or topping over if a culvert gets plugged or something like that. So be involved and be ready for that. That's some cool things. So just be on the lookout. It's coming. We just don't know. And that's why let's keep going. And what you called it, an atmospheric river. Keep that coming our way, but also let's not turn off 100 degrees in June. I like mild temperatures. Let's keep it coming. We can still have some sunshine out, and we can replenish the vitamin D in people, but let's just make sure it's not Phoenix hot beginning of the summer.
I know what you mean. I don't need the heat. And like you say, mild is the key. I mean, it needs to moderate a bit.
Yep.
And it's uncanny how often we see that flip the switch. It instantly jumps 40 degrees, and we certainly don't need that. That will be a really crazy year if that happens.
Yep. And just moderation. Just keep it moderate. Let's bring it down a little at a time, and it'll be good. That's where we're at. But where we're going to end up, we don't know. It depends on what Mother Nature keeps dumping our way. Like I said, those folks that do those estimates and do these projections, hats off to them. Great job. I think they're doing a good job, and they take good care of us in keeping that number one substance of life for us here and available for us to use. But we can do our part and keep going, keep taking that conservative effort. Because we do live in a desert. We do need to make sure that whatever we're using, especially on the Wasatch Front, we're not using it all up and that it can end up into that Great Salt Lake and help us out with that.
We need every drop we can get if it's used right and done right. And
correct.
Like you say, conservation is key. I mean, just because we're starting to see some storms come through.
Yes, we're still in winter. We're less than 2 weeks away from official spring. So We talked about ice safety, but we still got folks that are out there on the ice and trying to enjoy and catch a lunker or two. And I think we need to talk a little bit about this ice breaking down and in those processes, because we could have some tragic incidents and could have some very scary situations that these individuals could be on. So
I agree. This is a dynamic time of year for ice fishing anglers. The sun's getting higher and higher in the sky. It only takes hours, maybe not even hours sometimes, to change the dynamics, especially along the shoreline. It might be cold enough at night to refreeze again, but with rising water levels from the basin as it melts that snow, that ice shelf can get farther and farther away from the edge there, and you may end up taking a little dip in the water on your way back if you're not careful.
Yeah, you hit it right there. We've got the land potentially could be heating up a little bit more, and so their water levels are increasing, so that ice sheet is lifting up. So you're not getting that building of new ice along the shoreline. So you may have had good solid ice to walk out when you went out to go fishing. When you come back, you get 10 or 12 feet of open water. Be cognizant of that and be cognizant that you have those situations. The other thing, too, is if you've got some type of conveyance out there, a snowmobile or a four-wheeler, an ATV, be aware that we're now approaching that point that where ice is going to start degrading. And those edges and the pressure ridges that you've seen, those are now going to be weak areas. They've always been weak areas, but they are even weaker now. Just this last week, last Sunday, we had a call out for a potential missing person that was on a snowmobile at Lost Creek Reservoir in Morgan County. And it ended up being kind of a false alarm, which was wipe the forehead. I'm happy that it turned out the way it did, but I'm still trying to get the reports of whether or not we had a snowmobile in the water, that they lost the snowmobile. But those are things that we need to be concerned of, and we don't want that to be one of you out there. So please be careful. Take your own interests into account, and while you're going out there, and take care of yourself. And Brian, we've talked about this before. Take a life jacket with you. That's a good thing. Keep you floating. Have those ithals. If you're on some type of motorized conveyance out there, a snowmobile, snow dog, or an ATV, take it slow. The faster you go, you're going to start that wave effect, and you're not being able to read the ice. So take it slow. Make sure you know where you're going, and still do that testing of the ice sheet as you're moving along on it. So we're going to start to see a lot of candling, and you don't want to be those couple of guys, gals, couple of folks that are out on the ice sheet, and it's a small ice sheet, and it disattaches from shore, and then you're out there floating, and you're going to have a boat come and pick you up. So make wise decisions where you're at. Don't be that guy.
We've both seen that before. A little breeze will move that ice shelf farther away from the shoreline you need to get to. A couple feet makes all the difference in the world sometimes.
It does. It makes it for a cold situation. Get back to the truck, too, if it's moved away and you have no way to get there. So just take care of yourself. Make wise decisions. Start looking at this, asking those questions, maybe referring back upon what your dad used to say. Are you sure this is a good decision? What your mom and dad said. Are you sure that this is a good decision? Is this a good decision to go out onto the sheet today and go fishing? Oh, man, fishing's really good. There's a bunch of guys out there. Well, good. But it's something that I know that we talked about earlier with swift water. Somebody jumps or falls off of a cliff. Are you going to jump off after them? Take care of yourself.
I'm glad you said that, too. That stuck in my head for years from earlier interviews with you. And a lot of people don't treat swift water the same as they do a mountain cliff. If somebody slips off, you're not going to jump after them and try to rescue them. So many of us don't respect the power of that moving water and that cold. And let's talk about swift water safety. I mean, we're just ahead of some very fast moving water in our waterways. It could be a creek. It could be a river. It could be an irrigation ditch. It draws you to it like a moth to a flame sometimes. And we got to keep our distance away, because if it is moving fast, there's sometimes undercut banks. There's extremely fast water, and there's a lot of hazards.
There's a tremendous amount of dangerous hazards that are out there, especially as we start hitting our runoff times. You'll start to see it pop up in the news. X Fire Department is doing swift water rescue. County Search and Rescue Group is doing a Swiftwater training, and it's just something that needs to be done, but we need to make sure that the public knows that it's out there. And I think of places that I do know that are places, I mean, water moving and water flowing high, it's mesmerizing to watch. And you want to get close, you can just see the power. But until you've been in it, it's much more than what you can do. And you can be an extremely good swimmer. It's awfully hard to do without the right gear and equipment to be able to navigate that swift water if you're in a bad situation. So the biggest way to prevent it, stay away from it. I know that's hard. There's several places. I'm going to pick on the Provo River. There's some wonderful county parks that are right along the Provo River. Well, the Provo River might see some flows that are a little higher this year. And they got these parks, and people are going to want to get out this year as soon as they can, and they can get out and go. But they're going to flock to these areas. And what's the biggest scare that we see is having a kid get near the water, play around, trying to put something in, and then run down and watch it go as it's floating downriver. Well, that sometimes ends in a bad situation where the kid goes in. And then that gets into that whole adage of somebody falls off a cliff. Are you going to jump in after them? And that water is a cliff. I will tell you that a great team member with Utah County gave that adage, talking about swift water rescue, and just hats off for that, because I think that's just a non-aging analogy that can be given about swift water. So we just don't want to multiply the amount of people that are in the water. If we can minimize that, only one person going off that cliff instead of 2, 3, 4, 5, because that just ups the ante and it ups the amount of folks that need to be there for the response. And it really ups the outcome of it being bad. And that bad is that somebody doesn't go home at the end of the day. There is a fatality that occurs. So stay away from those areas. I'm not telling you stay away from those nice parks, but just pull away and quit being so close to that water as it's running, and keep a handle on your kids. They move so fast, especially when they're young. And it's not the little young toddlers. It's the ones that are running around, and you can even get up to where it's even us as adults. We get a little too close and lose our footing, and boom, we're in. Just make sure that you have that adage is, can you actually help them? And can you catch somebody in mid-flight falling off that cliff? And can you change the result of the situation before you hit the ground? That's really the way that you got to look at that. That was just such a great analogy that search and rescue member explained from Utah County. It was just good.
Not everyone listens to our show. Not everyone follows our advice. If you do see somebody that slips into the water, if a little kid gets away from you, how do you respond? What is the best response?
The best response is to start keeping them marked, get on the phone, and have people watch where they're going. That's the whole deal. It's kind of like that ice rescue. Try to swim towards shore. Try to keep your feet pointed downriver. That's the best way to protect you, is keep your feet to where you can use those as your blocker, your sponge, your spring as you're going down, and try to swim diagonally off to the shoreline, get caught into an eddy to where you can get out of that water. That's what the person needs to do, but you need to try to coach that to that person that's in the water. Call 911. Tell them where you are at, and then keep continually giving updates where you are at and moving. That helps the rescuers knowing that are heading that way where they can help you and help that person. So that's the biggest thing. Don't go into the water unless it is in an eddy that is not flowing and moving with the main current. I would just say stay away from the water and leave that to those that are the professional rescuers. And that is a hard decision, especially if it is one of your loved ones. But that's the whole thing. You need to be asking that question. If they fell off a cliff, am I jumping after them? Best way that I can talk about that situation.
And a lot of us don't recognize or don't remember that a single 1 gallon of water is 8.5 pounds. And literally there's thousands and thousands and sometimes millions of gallons flowing down these rivers at a very fast speed and extremely cold. That's a lot of force, and that will pin you. It'll snag you under something. There's a lot of effort that you need to exert, and if you're cold, you're not going to be able to move as well as you can on the shoreline.
Yes, that is a great way of putting it there with that. So If you've never been in a current and flowing river and trying to swim, best thing to do is, if you're in that situation, you would have a life jacket on. But we're not talking about those situations. This is somebody that has fallen in from shore, and that's where you need to be coaching them. Don't turn around and try to swim upstream. Don't do that. And don't point your head downstream. You need your feet downstream, and you need to be able to do that side swim to be able to get to the closest shoreline. And hopefully in that period of time, you can get into a shallow enough area and not get your foot hooked. That's where you need to keep your feet up. Swim over to where you can get in and get into that eddy to where you're out of that stream, because you could potentially hook a foot in someplace, and then that force will pull you under, and it's done. I mean, there are so many hidden hazards in our streams and waterways that you just need to be so careful with. And like I said, that's where it's so sad to see one. It's even more horrible to have two, three, four that are all in that situation. So please just stay away from the waterways when they're running high, and take care of your loved ones and keep them away from them.
A lot of us forget how noisy it is with that rushing water. Even yelling at the top of your lungs, sometimes you can't hear each other even just a few feet away.
It is very, very loud. Until you've experienced it, you just don't know. A lot of it is. It could be with your headphones in at high volume and noise canceling. You just can't hear. Somebody's mouth's moving, but you're not hearing the noise from them.
And again, the best way to save somebody is not get in that situation in the first place.
Yep. Don't go in the water. So that is a hard decision. I don't wish that decision on anybody. So work on the preventative measure of staying away from it and keeping those loved ones away from it.
All right, then, let's take a quick break. Be back in a few minutes. When we return, we'll continue our discussion with Mr. Ty Hunter with Utah's boating program. We're going to be talking about those underwater hazards in the reservoirs. Stick around. More fun is on the way here on Western Life Radio.
My man.
Hey, headed out on the lake, I see. These fish aren't going to catch themselves, am I right? Got some brewskis from my broski.
No, thank you. That's illegal.
What? Come on, aren't you the guy that wrestled the buffalo on Antelope Island?
First of all, they're called bison, and I was delivering a breech calf.
Wow, come on, man. I'll trade you this sixer of suds for that life jacket.
A real man always wears his life vest. He never partakes of alcohol while operating a boat. Everyone knows that.
Not everybody does.
Everybody knows that.
You got me.
Play safe. Boating accidents happen quickly. You never know when you might end up in the water. Wear your life jacket and have a throwable life preserver on board. Remember, Utah boaters wear it. Call 801-538-BOAT. Visit stateparks.utah.gov. This message brought to you by the Utah State Parks Boating Program.
Choose your adventure. With 46 state parks and an impressive list of recreational opportunities.
Yes, bass fishing at Sand Hollow State Park.
Visitors might have a hard time choosing what to do each weekend.
Woo! Windsurfing at Deer Creek State Park.
Choose your adventure. Explore Utah and create memories at Utah State Parks. For campground reservations, ideas for your next adventure, or to purchase an annual pass, stop by stateparks.utah.gov.
Hey, this is Nick Oleski with Utah State University Extension Integrated Pest Management Program. Let's talk about aphids. Aphids have a wide host range, including basically all of our vegetable crops, fruit trees, and landscape ornamental plants. Remember, the adult aphids can be winged or wingless, and they have these pear-shaped, soft bodies. Adults and nymphs vary in color from pale to dark green, pink,
red, bluish green, black, yellow, and gray, and they might even have a waxy covering like the cabbage aphids. There are several different species of aphids, but they essentially all cause the same type of damage. Adults and nymphs feed on hosts with their piercing, sucking mouthparts, which can cause stippling, chlorosis, curled leaves, and or slow down the plant growth. Over 100 different viruses could potentially be transmitted by aphids. Now, adults are usually first seen late May and June, but of course, it's always temperature dependent, so it can vary from season to season. Adults and nymphs are found in colonies or clusters on the leaves or stems, but they can be found singly as well. Eggs can be laid in the fall or winter on woody host plants, crop residue, or weeds. Be sure to watch for rapidly increasing populations and feeding damage in the late spring through early fall. Aphids are common, but typically do not cause severe economic damage unless they vector a virus or are present in high populations. So to manage aphids, you can encourage natural enemies like ladybugs, lacewings, or surfeit flies. Do this by avoiding toxic chemicals and make sure to provide nectar and pollen resources for these beneficial insects. Also manage aphids by keeping your crop area weed-free. To prevent those viruses spread by aphids, consider planting resistant cultivars, planting early, and remembering to remove those infected plants immediately. Knock down aphid colonies on the plant by spraying a strong stream of water on them. A lot of growers like to use organic insecticides like oil-based products or insecticidal soap. If you want to learn more about aphids, be sure to visit our website at extension.usu.edu/pets.
Put on your helmet, let's go.
But Mom, when will I be old enough so I don't have to wear my helmet? When will I become invincible just like you?
Sweetie, I'm not invincible. I need my helmet too. Anyone can get hurt, no matter how old they are.
Be responsible and set an example when you ride. Accidents do happen. Please remember, nobody is invincible.
Keep yourself safe this winter season. Wear layers to protect yourself from winter's cold. Also keep a hat, a scarf, and mittens on hand as essential winter gear. Select footwear appropriate for snow and slush, and be sure to keep extra dry clothing in your vehicle in case you get wet. These winter safety tips are brought to you by FEMA, the Region 8 Youth Preparedness Council, this station, and Western Life Radio.
With snowmobile season here, it's time for all youth to get their snowmobile education certificate. Education certificates are required by law for all youth who operate snowmobiles on public land. The class is a great resource, even for adults, that will provide information about operating machines safely, avalanche danger, safety equipment, and laws and rules. It's a great way to learn about safety and reduce your chance of an accident. Classes are now online at www.stateparks.utah.gov. Utah State Parks looks forward to seeing you on the web than on the trails.
Prune your fruit trees soon to ensure better health and harvests. We're bringing out the saws and loppers next on Western Life Radio.
If you would like a little more from your range experience than standing and shooting holes in paper, come and train with us, TaylorGunsmithing.com.
There's nothing quite like the great outdoors, and at Sportsman's Warehouse, we share your passion for hunting, fishing, and camping. If you want to feel at one with nature, this is the place to gear up. So whether you're ice fishing, predator hunting, snowshoeing, or winter camping, Sportsman's Warehouse has a terrific selection of all the latest equipment for your outdoor adventure. So when it's cold outside, that's the time to come and see what's hot inside. At Sportsman's Warehouse, take it outside. Take time to prune your fruit trees before they begin to bloom. Alex Grover with Utah Gardeners share some advice.
Looking at the pruning, now this is where we get a difficulty. The experts in the universities will often say the best time to prune is, I've heard even to the point of the day before the plant blossoms. Okay, guys, sorry, but you're hitting a non-practical zone there. But you do want to get them before they blossom. And right now, you're not going to do much better. I haven't seen anything that's imminent to buds bursting this year, although I do need to go out and look at my apricots just to be sure. And if you go out right now, if you haven't done it yet, it's not too late. Take some time to figure out what you're doing. It's probably a bit late this year, but every year the state extension in a lot of counties has a good pruning class, and those are typically well done, proper pruning, and none of this kind of wishy-washy stuff you sometimes see on social media or on YouTube. I mean, there's some good stuff on YouTube, particularly from Utah State Extension, by the way, but there's some stuff you just shake your head and like, he doesn't know what he's doing. The State Extension does a pretty good job. So that's a great resource you can get on your computer, watch, and learn how. I think I talked about this last week. Take out some scotch tape, mark the branches that you're going to cut or that you'd like to cut, and go in and sleep on it.
Thanks for joining us. May all your days be filled with new adventures. I'm Brian Brinkerhoff.
Hey, let's hit the lake. Put on your life jackets and let's go.
But Mom, when will I be old enough so I won't drown and I don't have to wear my life jacket? When will I be invincible just like you?
Sweetie, I'm not invincible. I need my life jacket too. Anyone can drown, no matter how old they are.
Accidents do happen. Protect yourself and set an example. Wear the proper safety gear when you're on the water. Please remember, nobody is invincible.
Play safe, play sober. BUI is boating under the influence. It is illegal to operate a motorboat while under the influence of alcohol. And in Utah, BUI penalties are the same as DUI. It will cost you money and may cost you your life. Play safe, play sober. Visit stateparks.utah.gov. This message brought to you by Utah State Parks Boating Program.
Now back to Western Life Radio with your host, Brian Brinkerhoff.
Welcome back to Western Life Radio. I'm Brian Brinkerhoff, host of this program. We have Mr. Ty Hunter with us with Utah's boating program. And you know, we're just a little ways away from some of these waters opening up, especially in the southern parts of the state. If folks are looking for a great place to go, what are some resources or where should folks go to find out the latest conditions and maybe discover a destination worth visiting this spring? I know a lot of waters still have an ice cap on them. If they're looking for that new potential destination or a destination to go to, that's the first step.
Well, we're working through some of this stuff. Since our split from the Division of Parks and Recreation to the Division of State Parks and the Division of Outdoor Recreation, where I work, we're working on that. So if you are going to a state park, I would go to stateparks.utah.gov to find out what those conditions are for those particular state park waters. If you're looking to see what's happening at Lake Powell, I go to the National Park Service, the Glen Canyon National Recreation Area. Strawberry, I would be checking with the Heber Ranger District. Pineview would be the Ogden Ranger District. And items there, if I could potentially get more individuals in that could potentially tend that and get that there, we are just a fledgling agency at this point in time. So we're relying upon those agencies to get some things there. But an ultimate dream somewhere down when we grow up a little bit more, we could have that in a one-stop shop in some place. But right now, it's so intensive to try to keep that going. We're letting those respective agencies keep those conditions there. So know who is managing those areas. And if you want to know who's managing those areas, you can reach out to us at boating@utah.gov and ask those questions. And or you can call the 538-BOAT number. So that's boating@utah.gov. Or 538-BOAT, and that's 801 in front of that, 801-538-BOAT, and we can tell you where you could go and maybe even assist you because we might have some further information at that time. But just look and see that. Do your due diligence and do some research in the front half before you get out and go on your excursion.
Downstream, as you get into the reservoirs, as the fast water is moving in, there's a lot of garbage and a lot of stuff that's going to be pushing into these reservoirs that haven't seen a lot of debris in them for a while. If you're boating and if you're not watching, you may run into something with your prop. You may find some damage on your boat if you're not careful.
Yep. This early spring and runoff, as soon as that ice comes off and folks are trying to get out, they're either wanting to go fishing or if they want to put on the dry suit or the wetsuit and start doing some towed water sports and other things that are out there, you need to be cognizant that there are some of these reservoirs that those tributaries coming into them have not been fully flushed, and they may be flushed this year, and so all of that debris is going to be coming down. And that's just not a plastic bag or a soda can or whatever else that comes along that will come down. You're going to see larger pieces of wood, logs, and stuff that are going to be floating, and you could be seeing those in a reservoir near you. So you need to be very cognizant of that they are out there. They will stop your boat. They will cause damage. So you need to be cognizant and aware of those situations. And you may not see them until you hit them, and you'll hit them off your outdrive or the outboard, the lower end on your drive unit, and it'll cause some problems. So just please, please be aware of that. And that's one of those things is you need to call that particular body of water and find out what those conditions are. And are they experiencing that at that time?
Especially early morning, if you're an angler and you're trying to get out to your favorite fishing spot, you may not see that. You want to be extra cautious. 80-90% submerged, you may just see a little something on the top and everything else is just waiting for that prop.
Yep, it could be Utah's iceberg season. So you may or may not see it, but it's under the water. So just be aware that it could be happening.
If folks want more information, your website is packed full of information.
Yep, it's there. Every day it's growing. We just keep moving stuff over there and keep getting some things in there so we'll have it. So it is boating.utah.gov. I tried to make everything boating the same. 801-538-BOAT is the number to call. If you wanted to email us, it's boating@utah.gov. Our website is boating.utah.gov. So it's moving the periods around, and it's putting an at sign, or it's spelling it out on your phone. If it's everything you want to know about boating, it is got boat in it, so you can search with that. So we just appreciate anybody coming out and wanting to know more. That's what our job is. We'll help you out and help you along.
You do an excellent job. I have nothing but respect for you and your hard work there. Anything else you want to share with folks out there as we're preparing for boating season?
No, I mean, nothing at this time with this. And be safe out there and take care of yourself and do your research before you go out and start your boating season up for this year.
Coming fast. I know a lot of us are very excited about this time of year, especially with the increasing water levels.
Yep. So be safe.
Mr. Ty Hunter joining us once again with Utah's boating program. Thank you so much for taking a few minutes with us.
Thank you, and thank you, everybody out there. And just like I said, be safe, and most importantly, take care of yourself. Our biggest goal is we want you to go home at the end of the day.
Improve your shooting performance out on the range. We're looking into precision shooting next on Western Life Radio.
If you would like a little more from your range experience than standing and shooting holes in paper, come and train with us, TaylorGunsmithing.com.
Choose your adventure. With 46 state parks and an impressive list of recreational opportunities,
yes, bass fishing at Sand Hall State Park.
Visitors might have a hard time choosing what to do each weekend.
Woohoo! Windsurfing at Deer Creek State Park! park.
Choose your adventure, explore Utah, and create memories at Utah State Parks. For campground reservations, ideas for your next adventure, or to purchase an annual pass, stop by stateparks.utah.gov.
Utah State Parks has a series of 17 snowmobiling complex maps available. These maps have a description of the trail, difficulty rating, mileage, and GPS coordinates. For your copy, download them from www.snowut.com. This message is brought to you by Utah State Parks OHV Education.
Precision shooting sets the standard in becoming a better hunter. Brant Taylor with Taylor Gunsmithing sets his sights on the target.
One of my challenges for myself this year is learning more precision rifle. I don't know if I'll do any competition, but I want to practice precision rifle. I think the better you know your rifle, the better you know the maximum range you can make the shot that you need to make, the better off you'll be in the hunting season. So that's one thing I'm going to work on this year is my precision shooting. Well, precision shooting is sometimes thought of as long-range shooting. To hit at long range, you have to be a precision shot, but it's not necessarily the same thing. Precision shooting can be done out in a relatively close range. 100 yards is really popular for good reason, because it gives you a chance to see what your rifle will do and what you can do with your rifle at that 100 yards. And they talk about minute of angle. Minute of angle is roughly just barely over an inch at 100 yards. So we round it to an inch per 100 yards. So if you're shooting better than a minute of angle, you're shooting a smaller group than 1 inch at 100 yards.
Thanks for joining us. May all your days be filled with new adventures. I'm Brian Brinkerhoff.
If a natural disaster comes knocking, how prepared is your family? You can't just close the door on earthquakes, floods, or hurricanes and hope they go away. That's why it's important to make a plan now. Ready.gov/plan has the tools and tips you need to prepare your family for an emergency. So if disaster shows up at your doorstep, you'll be ready. Visit ready.gov/plan and make a plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Connect with the world through Rise Broadband and stay in touch with all things important to you and your family. Known as the number one fixed wireless internet provider in the United States, Rise Broadband will keep you connected with work, school, shopping, and entertainment. Whether you live in a suburban or rural area, Rise helps keep you and your family connected with the people and things that you value most. Rise Broadband offers flexible packages designed to meet your budget so you can enjoy all your favorite music and movies with fast, reliable, in-home Wi-Fi. Stream your favorite shows, play the hottest games without buffering, and stay in touch with family and friends. Get more for less with Rise Broadband. To check availability in your area, visit risebroadband.com or call 844-411-RISE. Spring is fast approaching, and Sportsman's Warehouse shares your passion for hiking, fishing, camping, and hunting. If you want to feel at one with nature, this is the place to gear up. Sportsman's Warehouse has the latest in fishing to help you catch the big ones as the ice melts, or get above the inversion with new hiking boots. Their experts combined with a terrific selection truly make Sportsman's Warehouse the great indoors for those that love the great outdoors. Utah born and Utah proud, Sportsman's Warehouse, take it outside.
Hey, this is James Ray with Be Ready Utah. I am the Be Ready Business Program Lead for the state of Utah. And today I'm going to talk about what is Be Ready Business and what can we offer for you. Be Ready Business does a lot of things with business continuity planning and private sector preparedness. Lots of information to help you out. There are a couple of reality checks when it comes to private sector preparedness. First of all, it's time consuming for small businesses who don't necessarily have manpower or knowledge to dedicate to it. Most businesses are just trying to keep their business afloat. The second thing with preparedness for the private sector is it's not necessarily natural to spend time on something that you hope never happens and money on something you hope that you never need. These realities are some of the root causes for why so many businesses have not addressed their private sector preparedness. But we also just can't keep this other reality away. Disasters happen. And if it catches my business unprepared, my business can sink. Everybody could lose their job, and everything I worked so hard for could be no more. So for a new perspective, business preparedness could be one of the more important things that you could do for your business. So Be Ready Business provides a lot of preparedness information that is private sector central. There's a lot of information on the website, BeReadyUtah.gov. We also have an email platform where people can sign up to receive emails for private sector related information. Got a lot of social media accounts that are available. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Just follow hashtag BeReadyBusiness on BeReadyUtah social media platforms, and you can see what's being talked about for private sector preparedness. In addition to that, we've got a lot of videos on YouTube that could be utilized to air in your workplace. Send them to your coworkers and say, hey, here's a preparedness principle or idea for you. We've also got a ton of information on Pinterest. And then our Be Ready Business calendar that you can also find on our website is free and available with lots of different events that are going on throughout National Preparedness Month and throughout the year. Be Ready Business provides business continuity planning, training. We've got tools, templates, and we also provide consultation. So if there are private sectors anywhere out there that would like to build a business continuity plan, please let Be Ready Utah know. We're also trying to connect you to your local emergency managers and local private sector preparedness councils. And there's a lot of subject matter experts out there that can be connected to help you out with your questions. There's a lot of training opportunities. Private sector is oftentimes very interested in active shooter preparedness, cybersecurity, a lot of different topics and training opportunities that are out there. And if you are part of what's called the critical infrastructure, then there's security assessments that can be provided to you. One of our partner programs in our office is the Utah Public-Private Partnership, and they do security assessments for cyber as well as site and even supply chain-based assessments. And then one additional great tool that Be Ready Business provides to you is a recognition platform. We want to recognize you as a prepared business. And if you go onto our website, BeReadyUtah.gov, there's a place on there you can go through to go down the check marks and see, hey, what can we do to fulfill the requirements to become a ready business? And then you can receive some recognition for that. With that, Be Ready Business. This has been James Ray with Be Ready Utah. Thank you.
Choose your adventure. With 46 state parks and an impressive list of recreational opportunities.
Yes, bass fishing at Sand Hall State Park.
Visitors might have a hard time choosing what to do each weekend.
Woo! Windsurfing at Deer Creek State Park.
Choose your adventure. Explore Utah and create memories at Utah State Parks. For campground reservations, ideas for your next adventure, or to purchase an annual pass, stop by stateparks.utah.gov.
Shadows cast, it raises our spirits like warm glowing embers with tales of adventure invoked from the past. He He's hunting and fishing in marshes and mountains, discovering life in the backcountry wild, exploring the West with its treasures abounding, with the soul of a sportsman and heart of a child. Wild and free, the song of the mountains is calling to me. Wild and free, in the great western wildlands, discover the backcountry dream.
Folks, you've been listening to Western Life Radio, a 30-year outdoor and western lifestyle tradition. Thanks for joining us. May all your days be filled with new adventures. I'm Brian Brinkerhoff.